Welcome to Another Moment in Creation with Diana Wedge, where we explore the world around us from God's perspective. Today, we're discussing clay. Most of the subsoil in the world is made up of clay, a material that has ultimately allowed the human race to go from living day to day to planning for the future. It's a malleable and incredibly versatile substance which has a number of intrinsic chemical features that make it perfect for being made into new forms, especially when subjected to high amounts of heat. Clay is a substance that we easily take for granted. Clay can be found virtually everywhere in the world. It was initially formed due to silicate rocks slowly being worn down because of the process of chemical weathering. Clay comes from the ground, usually in areas where streams or rivers once flowed. It is a special kind of earth which is made by the decomposition of rocks through the action of weathering I mentioned. Bits of earth are carried from one place to another by water and deposited in areas where the water slows down to a trickle. Have you ever gone digging by the water's edge only to grab a handful of muck? Well, that muck is clay. Clay is a soft, loose, earthy material containing particles. This earthy material is plastic-like in its moldability when moist, but hard when dried in intense heat. This is called firing. It is composed mainly of fine particles of hydrous aluminum silicates and other materials, and it's made from minerals, plant life, and animals, all the ingredients of soil. Water pressure breaks up the remains of flora, fauna, and minerals and pulverizes them into these fine particles. It is used for brick, tile, and pottery, made from soil composed chiefly of this earthy material having particles with less than a grain the size of 4 micrometers. People have long had a close association with clay. Having discovered the useful properties of it, mankind had used clay for making this pottery, which is one of the oldest human inventions. If you can take a piece of clay and roll it into a coil, then bend it into a ring without cracking and falling apart, chances are it will make good pots and sculptures. Pottery shards have been dated back to ancient times, and clay tablets were the first known writing medium. Scribes wrote by inscribing them with cuneiform script using a blunt reed called a stylus. Cuneiform script is a logo-symbolic script that was used to write several languages of the ancient Middle East, and it's named for the characteristic wedge-shaped impressions which form in its symbols. Clay differs from inelastic earth and fine sand because of its ability, when wetted with a proper amount of water, to form a cohesive mass and to retain its shape when molded. This quality is known as clay's plasticity. When treated to high temperatures, clay also partially melts, resulting in the tight, hard, rock-like substance known as ceramic material. Natural clay that we find outside usually needs to be cleaned and refined before it can be used. Any tiny rocks and lumps are removed, and some additional materials like sand are sometimes added to create the perfect workable clay that we buy from the pottery supply house. Clay differs in structure and composition depending upon the source. Just like there are no two identical fingerprints, it is impossible to find two identical clays. They come from different sources, each source with its own unique mineral compositions. Clay consists of these tiny particles that can absorb large amounts of water. As a result, many clays can expand immensely upon hydration. Clays can absorb minerals and organic substances such as metals. Based upon its characteristics and at what temperature the clay must be fired in order for it to become mature or to reach its optimum hardness and durability, clay can be divided into several classes. There are 5 main types of clay for pottery. These are earthenware, stoneware, porcelain, ball clay, and fire clay. Earthenware fires at lower temperatures and can have an earthy look. Stoneware fires at mid to high temperatures and is often buff or tan. Porcelain fires at high temperatures and is usually pale gray or white. Ball clay also fires at high temperatures and it's either a light gray or a light buff color. Fire clay also fires at high temperatures and it tends to have spots of iron which lend a speckled appearance once fired. Don't worry, there's no test here. I just want you to see that there's more to clay than dirt. Cooking pots, art objects, dishware, smoking pipes, and even musical instruments such as the wind instrument that is a type of vessel flute called the ocarina can be shaped from clay before being fired. Between 1/2 and 2/3 of the world's population still live or work in buildings made with clay, often baked into brick as an essential part of its load-bearing structure. Clay is used in many modern industrial processes, such as papermaking, cement production, and chemical filtering. All cultures around the world use clay as a building material, in pottery, for treating human digestive ailments, and in a multitude of industrial uses. Clay is a key ingredient in the material world we live in. Cultures, including those in the Andes, Central Africa, and Australia, consume clays in various ways. Many would carry balls of dried clay in their bags and dissolve a small amount of the clay in water to drink with meals to prevent poisoning from any toxins present. Clays have a well-deserved place in health and beauty routines. Widely used in spas, clay slurries are prepared by mixing with water, could be using sea salt or lake water, various minerals in the water, and then when they are matured, it's mixed with a paraffin to be used on the body. George Washington Carver lived between 1864 and 1943. We talked a little about him in episode 8 when we talked about cotton. Let's have a look at what author Jean Adair has to tell us about Mr. Carver's life. Throughout his life, Carver maintained that, quote, "The master analyst needs no book. He is at liberty to take apart and put together substances, compatible or non-compatible, to suit his own particular taste or fancy," unquote. Nevertheless, his reliance on divine revelation instead of scientific methods often put him at odds with the scientific community. The public liked many things about Carver, his theatrical flair, his sense of humor, and his sincerity, as well as his ability to express his subject in simple but vivid terms, were keys to his success with lecture audiences. He was also a fantastic agricultural scientist. His deep religious faith was also very important. In his speeches and interviews, he almost always referred to the Bible and divine guidance. His accomplishments, he was fond of saying, were not his doing, but they were the work of God. And his workshop was called God's Little Workshop, by the way, where he did his research. As he told a reporter for the Atlantic Journal who questioned him about the permanency of the clay paints that he had developed, he said, "Why should they not be permanent? God made the clay in the hills. They have been there for countless generations, changeless. All I do is prepare what God has made for uses to which man can put it. It is God's work, not mine," he said. Many scientists make assumptions about nature that lead to conclusions which contradict what the Bible tells us happened in history. For example, they once assumed that clay particles settle very slowly according to Stokes' law, which means that the claystone and mud rock in the sedimentary rock record, which make up over 50% of the sedimentary rocks, would take millions of years to form. However, scientists have discovered that clay particles coagulate into flocculs called flocculation, which is a very common process in nature. This means the clay particles would have deposited much faster, and that there is no problem with the biblical timescale. We also talked about flocculation referring to gold being formed quickly in episode 25 titled Gold. What is the difference between clay and silt? To keep it very brief, both clay and silt fall under the category of fine-grained soil. Clays are plastic and cohesive, they hold together, and clay particles cannot be seen through the naked eye. But they can be seen through a very powerful microscope. Silt is a fine-grained soil with little or no plasticity. Silts do not contain clay minerals. Surface textures of silt is smooth and slippery to touch when wet, while clay is sticky and plastic-like when wet. In most of the cases, dry strength of clay is greater than that of silts. The toughness of clay is higher than silts. The late scientist Dr. David Catchpool of Creation Ministries International, or CMI, shares that the potter's hands are a very handy thing to have. Watching a master potter's hands at work, you should notice the manual dexterity and know-how required to make quality pots. From Three Foundations of Pottery Skills, B. Peterson explains that pottery instructors warn that clay can move to the lightest touch. It takes time and experience to gain mastery over many of the skills involved, and that through experience, your hands begin to see and your muscles learn the subtle dance that pushes the clay just right. Dr. Catchpool continues, "Actually, the amazing dexterity and sensitivity of the human hand, so exemplified by a skilled potter, is the envy of robotics engineers. Dubbing it one of nature's marvels, the human hand remains a stupendous challenge to engineers who would replicate it despite years of trying." That's understandable, given that the hand has over 30 muscles along with 29 flexible joints and thousands of specialized nerve endings providing a sensory system that can instantly detect whether an object is hot or cold, its surface smooth or rough, and even how firmly or gently it should be grasped. In the words of one research team, quote, "No wonder then that creating robot hands with even a fraction of human capabilities has proved an elusive goal," unquote. They certainly know their subject, having recently won a competition to develop multi-fingered robotic hands that could complete a variety of tasks, like picking up a telephone handset or operating a power drill. It was a huge collaborative effort with team members spanning three organizations working on this quest for up to a decade. Their winning design has many great attributes, but the researchers acknowledge it is really only designed to copy a tiny subset of what the human hand can do. And they state their robotic creation is simply a starting point for other researchers to hopefully improve down the road. There's a strong message in all this regarding evolutionary claims. Did our hands, the inspiration for all this design effort, really have no designer? Is God really just a concept that man has made up? Or, as recorded in Isaiah 29 verse 16, "You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He did not make me'? Can the pot say of the potter, 'He knows nothing'?" And Isaiah 45 verse 9, Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say he has no hands? I have a great little tune from the Good News Guys called Potter and the Clay. I would like to share this with you.
Ready to rock!
He is the potter and we are the clay. He shapes us, molds us, shows us the way. His way is perfect, I trust him today. He is the potter, we are the clay. He is the artist and we are the slave. He hammers and chisels our sins away. His way is perfect, I trust him today. He is the potter, we are the clay.
Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, or AIG, explains that God's word in Isaiah 64 verse 8 likens God to a potter and humans to the clay that the potter worked on. Quote, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand." Unquote. Because of sin, when Adam rebelled against God's word and took the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, Adam and all his descendants were separated from God and would, because of sin, be separated from God in eternal judgment. The clay pot God made was now marred. It was cracked and broken because of sin. Jesus, the Creator, made Adam's hands. He knew one day he would step into history to be a man so that he could pay the penalty for our sin and offer us the free gift of salvation. He knew his hands would be pierced. The true meaning of the babe in the manger is the truth of the wonderful saving gospel, the loving potter who paid the price to restore what we are, broken and marred clay pots. When Jesus was nailed on the cross in the agony of that terrible situation, and as he took upon him the punishment for our sin, we can picture it this way: those pierced hands, bleeding and hurting, were tenderly working with the broken, marred clay pot of our life, your life, and mine, to make us perfect again in Christ. If you have any questions about this episode or any that you've listened to, please feel free to write me at CrestonChristianRadio@gmail.com. Just reference Diana, Another Moment in Creation. This is Diana signing off until we share another moment in creation.